Y'all be seated. Praise the Lord. Get some glasses. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there you are. Praise God. I had a book that I read by Andrew Womack and on imagination. And it really, to me, it was so intriguing that because I am a man of vivid imagination. And that imagination, if it's in the Lord, can really lead you in the Lord. Especially if you get on your face before Him and He shows you which way to go. Now, preface that because I knew which way to go a while back, but somebody sitting in this sanctuary encouraged me so greatly that I stepped out and went. Why is that? Because sometimes in our imagination, even though it is blessed, we get a couple things wrong. One of them was a scripture I had that if you go out, you got to go out by twos. But someone told me with great wisdom, and after much prayer, it says, Lord told me to tell you, go, and they'll follow you. And that's exactly what happened. The Great Commission Outreach is growing, and people was coming in and following me. And it is a vision that I had. But I could not have that vision without an imagination. So the word says to train up a child in the way he should go, and he shall not depart from it. But how about training up your imagination? Because it can run away from you. It can tell you things that are quite opposite in the Word. And it can make you do things that are opposite in the Word if you don't train your imagination. And you can't always be slapping yourself in the head, saying, no, you got it. That's what the Word does when we get into Word. And the Word changes us from the inside out. Because the world says you got to change from the outside in. But God says you got to change from the inside out, which is very important. And if you don't change from the inside out, you can look good, smell good, talk good, operate real good, but you're one too many O's. And it isn't God. And you can trick whomever, but sooner or later, you're going to be found out. So that's why you got to change from the inside out, because it's a true change, especially with the Word in you. It makes your want-tos to change. Let me read you something here. It says that the ability to create mental pictures is what your imagination does. You have that ability. God gave you that ability. The ability to create mental pictures of people, of things, and new visions, imagination. The Greek, and why we go to the Greek, because our English language just oversimplifies things, and you never really get what the richness of a scripture. So we go to the Amplified here, or to the, do you know what I'm saying? Or the Greek, or we go to another version, so it really brings it out much better. But in the Greek, it's yetzer. Yes, sir. Yetzer. Yes, sir. Yetzer is imagination or a conception. Yetzer. And imagination and vision are not the same. So, vision is a mental image produced by imagination. Your vision enlarges your heart. And when your vision enlarges your heart, you conceive things and that you can give birth. But you have to have a godly imagination. It's all how you see yourself. It's your perception of you. And if you have a godly perception of you, then you can grow up in the Lord God, and you can do things which God wants you to do, because now you have imagined it. You enlarge your heart, you conceive, and you give birth. Imagination, and if you think I'm playing on words, I'm not. Just listen. Imagination is the ability to see with your mind what you can't see with your eyes. Imagination is the ability to see with your mind what you can't see with your eyes. Now, years ago, I seen myself out laying hands on people. I saw myself out. I never And many of you say, oh, okay, I get it. But I never seen myself in. I seen myself out, laying hands and going after those that didn't know Christ. That's what I seen in my mind. But I didn't know how to do it. And it took years to get to that place where Pastor Jack says, go, they'll follow you. In other words, the bird gets kicked out of the nest. Go. But I had to see it. I had to see it in my imagination. And when I went, the doors just opened. Because I was where I was supposed to be when I imagined it and when I prayed for it and God gave it to me, I got a vision. And when I seen that vision, I seen myself out there. I seen myself laying hands on people. I seen myself praying with them. Why? Because it's a vision. Your mind, imagination is the ability to see with your mind what you can't see with your eyes. We have to come as little children. Why don't you come as a little child and quit trying to figure it out?
Oh, come on,
I did it. Yeah. I did it. I would have to take things and just go A, B, C. I'd have to see them and build them right up so that I could do it. But that's not what God's saying to you. He doesn't call the equipped. He calls to equip you. He does it. He equips you. Your talents and abilities need honed, need trimmed, because we kind of get off. Now, when I was a drummer, a good example, when I came into church, God took them drums, and I was able to play them up here. But I had to be trimmed because there's certain things you don't do that you did out there you don't do in church, because then I had to be pruned. Prune's a better word. So those things God takes, and I allow him to prune them so that I can have good fruit. So God can have good fruit. Amen? So that's what imagination did. I seen myself. Now Psalm 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in the heart, so is he. Now, what do you think about yourself? What do you think about yourself? How do you see you serving in the Lord God, the kingdom of God? What do you see? Because what you see is what you're going to be. And I want to say something about imagination, because you need to hear this. God give us an imagination so that we can have an image of what he wants us to be. Now, when you imagine things, I personally, if I need a healing, I imagine a healing. I take the word and I get the word in me and read it over. Okay, Lord, you sent your word and you healed me. I'm healed. I'm healed, Lord, by your stripes. I'm healed. Body, God says you're healed. I'm getting a vision that what is wrong with me, I'm healed. You have to have that vision. What gave you that vision was the imagination, so you could see yourself healed. If you come up in this pulpit, if you come up to this pulpit, if you come up here in front and one prayed for, I would have to say, did you see it? Did you see your healing? The lady with the issue of blood, the woman, she had to see herself. She heard there was a prophet in town, a prophet of God, and she had imagination and visioned she would have been healed. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. When a woman makes up her mind, don't get in her way.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't get in her way.
That's right.
And we all should be like that. When we make our mind up about the things of Christ, that we're healed, guess what? We are healed. You can't change my mind. You can't change my mind. I know. I know I'm healed by the word of God. Isaiah 53:4-5. 2 Peter 2:24. Psalm 107:20. I know I am because he says I am. Daddy says I am. I am because he's the great I am. Now why am I hammering at home? Because more often than enough, when you leave here tonight, you're going to have to believe God for something. And you're going to have to see it in your heart, in your spirit, man. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So do you, How did you ever see yourself saved? Somebody had to give you that idea or vision so you could get it, and you can I be saved, Lord? And you came and you believed it, and when you come to the altar, you confess Christ, ask Jesus in your heart to be your Lord and Savior, and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and thou shalt be saved. And you turned around, at least I did, and walked. I remember it very vividly, the day I got saved. Down the old church, I was on the left-hand side, second pew. Judy was on this side. I held onto the pew, and Pastor Banning says, "Would anybody like to be saved tonight?" Judy goes, "Anybody like to be saved?" And I went up there, and when he laid hands on me, it was like melted butter. Went down, come back up, and went back down. I got a double portion. And I knew I was saved. And when I left that church, you couldn't tell me I wasn't saved. Because now I not only had it in my imagination in the second pew, I come up to the front of the church, and now it was a vision come alive. Yeah. I gave birth to that because God gave the new birth to me, and it was birthed in my body. Yeah. Why? Because imagination had a vision, and I conceived it, and it was born. Mm-hmm. That's what the lady at the issue of blood seen that. When she reached out and touched his garment, she already had it. And she touched him, and virtue flew. And he turned around in the throne, and he says, "Who touched me?" Why? He knew that because virtue went out of him. Right. You ask any preacher stands up, or any elder, any deacon, when they pray for somebody, they actually can feel virtue gone out of them. Pastor Jack, am I correct? You know when somebody put that draw on you, and it left you and went right in them. You know it. Because they prepared themselves. They imagined themselves healed. Yeah. Now, if you leave and your imagination becomes vain again, then there's a war going on. Amen. So train up your imagination in a way it should go, and it will not depart from you. Because it's the Word of God in you, through you, working for you, so that you can have a birth. Yeah. A healing. Monetary blessing, a spiritual healing, a broken heart being healed. All these things, you can have it, but you can't have it if you can't see it. And you got to see it. Your imagination will give you vision that will be a roadmap for your life. So you can have a good vision, godly vision, or you can have evil vision, whatever you prefer. You know, I want to talk about imagination a minute, and I wanted to say this because I think it's not only poignant, but it's very, I like it. Because I had a vision that I was going to say this. You know, we got to come as a child to God. I don't care what you know, how long you've been in the faith, you have to come humbly and as a little child. Because your imagination will run to and fro, and it will play havoc on you. Unless you train it up the way in the Word of God, and you rely on Him, trust in Him, amen, rest in Him, and commit yourself to Him, then your imagination will lead you on a road to success, a journey like you never knew before. Come as a little child. Some of you probably heard this joke, but I'm going to tell it anyways because I like it. This little 5-year-old, and you know 5-year-olds, grandkids, they're in everything. And he gets in the family Bible and he opens it up, and this leaf falls out. He goes, "Mommy, mommy!" And he runs, he says, "Mommy, mommy!" She says, "What's up, mommy, mommy?" He says, "Look!" And she says, "Okay, okay." She says, "Look, mommy!" She says, "It's Adam's underwear." You may laugh at that, but that's what that child's seeing. That's a good imagination for a 5-year-old. A 5-year-old that can see that. And we have problems with healing. But a 5-year-old can imagine that. And to me, it amazes me. I still remember when my children, Bob and Sonia and Shane, were little. I mean, I would come home. They would leap. They would leap, go airborne, and I would have to catch them. Dad! Boy, them were good years. I was a hero then. I loved them. Dad! And they would jump and catch them. And they had the faith of a child. And I would have to sleep during night term because I worked, and I would sleep during the day. And Bob, they were working next door in the garage. And Bob had faith as a little child. And he goes out there and he says, "Hey!" And they go, there was like four or five guys over there, I guess. He says, they go, "What?" He says, "I'm telling you right now, quiet down." He says, "What do you mean quiet? Quiet down, my dad's sleeping." And they said, "Well, so?" He says, "Quiet down now or I'll get him up and he'll kick all your butts." But you see, a child trusts in dad. And that's how we should be with the Heavenly Father. We should be that way as a child, our imagination. If we line up our imagination with the Word of God and we believe in our Father, that'll deliver us from evil, that our Father, when He says we're healed, we're healed. And when the Father says you'll never have problems with money, believe Him. Amen. That He said, "I'm going to prosper you, son." Believe what the Father says. Amen. Imagine that. Imagine. Teresa said that. Imagine that. If you can. If you can. I got a granddaughter that says, "Dad, give me the credit card." Take it out. Exactly. Ah, glory to God. Just an imagination. I want to go to Hebrews 4:12. Jack touched on this scripture, and Hebrews 4:12, we're going to read it in the message. And I think Jack went there also, but I want to read it again because I want to give you some food for thought. Hebrews 4:12. Thank you, Lord. And we're talking about imagination and believing God for what He says. This scripture lines up very well in the message. It said, God means what He says. What He says goes. That's what my sons, when they were small, Dad said. Yeah. And if Dad said it, that's what goes around here. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel. I like to say that His word is sharper than a surgeon's scalpel. Cutting through everything, whether it's doubt or defense or laying us open to listen and obey, nothing and no one is impervious to the Father's word. No one and nothing is impervious to the Father's word. I said no one and nothing is pervious from the Father's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. That's right. The word is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and the intent of the heart. We used to say it cuts going in and cuts going out. That's good. But I say that it goes in and it divides. It divides, and when it comes out, that division is no more. You are getting unity with the Word. And you keep getting unity, it gets in there, and it divides the soul and the spirit, especially when the soul is rebelling against the spirit. Yeah. Because the lust of the flesh wants things. Mm-hmm. And you got a war going on inside you where the Word is sharper. Sharper than a scaffold. It goes in there, and it divides it. Bone and marrow. And the intent. You can't even hide the intent from God. God knows your intent. That's right. And so if you have a bad intent, you have to take the Word of God and speak it over, meditate on it, bring it up again, and put it on that soul so that your heart get right with God. So now you're not a divided person. You're not divided. Not when you're in the Word, you're not divided. I don't know about you, but when I get in the Word, I'm a changed person. And if I'm not in the Word, I get anemic, spiritually anemic, and I get cranky. Because I know I'm not on the Word. And so when you're quick to respond, hey, you better get on the Word. At least keep it there somewhere so your eyes can see it. So it will temper you. Jack, what's temper being? Pastor Jack, remember temper in the mill with steel? It tempered it. Why? Because it could bend somewhat. It wouldn't break. It's not brittle. You need to temper yourself. So that emotions, they will bend and they will not change your course. You'll stay right on what you see. Not with your eyes, but with your mind. You see your vision, where you're going. We are body, soul, and spirit. Pastor taught this. Body, soul, and spirit. Now guess what? If your soul does not line up with the Word of God, you're only one-third saved. That's all. Just a one-thirder. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, and go out there and be a double fountain, give bitter water and sweet. No, fountains don't do that. You either get sweet water or you get bitter water. So then you got to get in there and get the Word to work on you to divide that so that you get saved.
Yeah.
Well, you want to be 66 and two-thirds, here's how you do it. You get in the Word. You say, soul, you bless the Lord, oh my soul. I raise my hands to God. I don't care who sees it, what they think. I don't care. I'm raising my hands to my Lord God in worship and praise. In worship and praise. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You do it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. So now your soul starts lining up. Now there's not a word going on, is there? Soul and spirit is getting saved, and now the body is not lusting against the soul and spirit because they'll put it in line because you know the Word. So now you have your soul and your spirit, and you are meditating the Word of God, and now your imagination is lining up. Thank you, Lord. I see myself going and laying hands on a dead person and they come back to life. I see it. Oh, no. You got to see it. You got to imagine it just like you're being healed. You can raise the dead if you believe the power in the Word. Okay. All right, Hebrews 4:12 again. Let's say it again. The Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the bone and marrow. Okay, soul and spirit, and the intent of the heart. I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can go raise the dead. I can lay hands on people, and they will recover. They will be healed. I can do that because I see myself doing that. It's in my vision, and now it's conceived through me. And now I see it, and I can do it just as a way of life. Amen. Have I raised anybody from the dead yet? No, but I'm working on it. I may do that. I had opportunity to do that. I told somebody sometime, I won't go into this discussion, but I had an opportunity to do that, and I didn't do that. Because I wasn't processing. My soul was processing of the carnal mind. And it says, you do that, you'll never be the same. Yeah. No, you don't. Your life will never be the same. Yeah. And so that's many moons ago, many years. But we can. We got to imagine it to do it. We can't. We're going to have challenges in life. That's the way it goes. When you leave here tonight, you're going to have a challenge.
That's not right.
And you need to be in the Word of God.
Amen.
So that you can imagine and have a vision so that you can change it. My vision is tens of thousands to be saved. You can't keep this to ourselves. You can't keep this gift to ourselves. You can't get impregnant, a lady, or even you can get impregnant in the spirit. You can get pregnant and give birth, but you got to give birth. You can't get pregnant and not do anything. Because a pregnant woman, when she gets pregnant, if she doesn't deliver a certain time, guess what? She'll die. And it's the same way when we get impregnated with the vision of God and we're going to give birth. You have to give birth. You have to keep praying to give birth, or the vision just went on the wayside. And you'll find it in heaven in a box somewhere. This was a gift for such and such, and they never really did this. Imagination. Imagination. Go on here a little bit. I want to read Romans 8:11 in the Message. Romans 8:11. You know, you could imagine it, but what are you imagining? We're going to Romans 8:11, but what are you imagining? What are you seeing? What do you want to be? Do you think you can't obtain it? Because you can. Believe. All those in the Bible had to believe. Jesus said many times, according to your faith. Pastor Jack preached on faith here. As a mustard seed. And we thought about that when he preached that. Just that little bit of faith. That's all you need. And believe. And receive. And imagine and then have a vision and conceive. So that you can have what you say. So you can be what God wants you to be. The Amplified kind of groups it up. It doesn't even go there. We're going to go 9-11 with this here. But we get this. Because I got in my notes, if we just believe this, if we just believe it. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, has he? Because you all say amen. But when we get out of here and we go through our weeks, trials and tribulations out there, did God take up residence in you, in your life? You can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, you won't even know what I'm talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves in your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus. Can you raise the dead? Can you believe this scripture? Because it's the same Jesus is in you. Selah. God will bring you alive to himself. I wanted to mention, and I don't know how far I'm going to get in this, I just do, but I wanted to mention something to you, and I didn't get back. And Jabez is in 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry, I don't know the chapter. But Jabez, his mother bore him, and some of them say that it was a dry birth, so she had pain. And it must have been a long time. I know that my sister gave birth one time at dry birth. It was 18 hours. So she was such pain that she named him Jabez, pain. Would you like a name like that? Or he didn't either. And he went to God and he says, Lord, he says, make me a blessing. Now just get this concept, because we can do the same. We can go to God and say, Lord, Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing, Lord God. If it's finances you want, make me the biggest financial blesser ever. Ever, 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 Lord. Make me the biggest believer in healing, Lord God, that it so overflows when I lay hands on people. I'm a healer through you, working through me, and the anointing goes out and they are healed. Jabez wanted that. He wanted to be a blessing. And God gave him his request. And he was a blessing. And guess what? His territories were enlarged. Now, you might see that as land, but I don't. He enlarges your heart so that your capability of love expands. How did my mom and dad ever take care and love us, and we were loved of 10 kids? You have to have a big heart to do that, because there's jealousy, envy, strife. Because God showed me that's sort of like what the church is. So it's a family, and when y'all got one father, and don't ever give up on anybody. Keep loving your brothers and sisters, because that's what I want you to do. So God, when he enlarged your heart, enlarge your territory, so that it's not just something small or local, that it's bigger than that, because you're in a church at ACA. This is bigger than you. You have to enlarge your heart. It's not about my four no more. You can't do that. That's why we're called, to enlarge our territories. Selah. I'll give you a minute with that. You need enlarged. You need to get pregnant with the vision God has for you and give birth. And you need to use your imagination to go before him to see what he wants to do. And we're going to look at a couple examples of imagination, because I think it gives us a real insight into a good imagination or a bad imagination. But let me read. Jabez petitioned the Lord to enlarge his heart and enlarge his territory. Jabez asked for a blessing, and I shared this with Pastor Jack, because when I was in realty, Jack, ever read the book The Rainmaker? Yeah. Because you've got to bring that over, and I brought that over in the spiritual realm. Wherever you go, you have to take the anointing with you and allow people to see beyond themselves and allow the Holy Spirit to move in their lives. And that's what I do down at Smith's. A lot of those people, the four walls got them captured. But I go in there and give them the Word of God, Brother Nick and I, and they can see. They finally can see that it's more than just Smith's personal care home. They can see that they can be a blessing. And they go out and they give that word. Then they may be waffly, but you know what? Does a church go out and give the word and be a little waffly? Maybe, maybe not. But when we have the anointing of Christ in us, and it doesn't matter where you're a teacher or a pastor, an elder, a deacon, you have to enlarge your territory and give somebody vision. You've got to give somebody vision of this church. This is bigger than you. And this church is going to grow whether you do anything or you do nothing. This church is going to grow. You'll want to grow with it. So you'll want to get your heart enlarged. You'll want to do your imagination, get before God and see what he wants you to do. Someone said, if you're not on the cutting edge, you're doing nothing. If you're not getting yelled at or embarrassing yourself or making mistakes, you're not doing anything. Because somebody always wants to play it safe and do nothing. It's not that way. God called you. We had a word here last Sunday. God called you and appointed you. Did he? Yes, he did. He appointed you for this time, in this church, in this day, right now, to come and do the work of the ministry. More than enough ministry helps in this church. He called you to do that. You can't sit and do nothing because you'll be twitching all the time. And you know what? You just won't be happy, and the peace of God will not be in you. What's wrong with me? Well, you're not doing what God calls you to do. I know. In a respect, I'm preaching to the choir. But you know what? You're just warming me up. When I go out there, I can preach it. But that's what we're called to do. And God calls those. He doesn't call those that are equipped on their own. He calls those who He equips. Why is that? Because it's not what you do. It's not what you know. It's not what you can do. Even if you could, God wouldn't want that. He wants you to come so that He can raise you up, so that He can show you how to sing, so He can show you how to go work whatever it is in the church. Imagination. Take some. I want to read something for you before I lose you. And I know, how am I on the time, Cal? Honestly. Thank you, Cal. You tricked me. Hey, I want to go. I really want to get this out tonight. There's a lot. I'll read 1 Corinthians 3 to 6 to you. This is in the voice. Now, God has equipped us to be capable servants of the new covenant, ministers of the new covenant, not by the authority of the written law, which only brings death, but by the Spirit of life that brings life. Amen? Two laws, the law of sin and death and the law of life in Christ Jesus. So He equips us to bring life. We don't bring the letter of the law. We bring life. We bring His life, His peace. Because we are anointed. All of us are anointed. So when we show up, the anointing shows up. And I shared this with the tribe because Eleanor had said a couple things. I mean, when we come into a setting, we should cause revival. Or unrest. They're either going to throw you out or they're going to listen to you. Been there. I've been asked to leave already. I want to go to 1 Kings real quick. And I got 1 Kings chapter 20. And Denny has taught on this. Jack has taught on this. But I want to bring out just another angle on it, if you don't mind. 1 Kings chapter 20. And then we're going to shut it down. I'm sorry, 1 Kings 19, back up one chapter. You didn't get lost, did you, having to back up one chapter? And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. He had killed, called fire down, and it took up a sacrifice, and there was 450 prophets of Baal, and there was 400 prophets of the grove where they made trees and the gods, and they went up and knelt to the tree. They had that sacrifice, and he told them to call on their gods, and they were like a whole day calling their gods down, and he talked to the God. Three times, come down and consumed it all. Well, he didn't stop there. What he did was said, take them all down to the brook and kill them all. 850 prophets of Baal. He wiped them out. Now listen, now we're here in chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elisha had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. He said, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of the one of those tomorrow, about this time. And when he heard that, he arose and went for his life. He arose and ran away. He just killed 850 prophets. Pulled down fire on the offering that they had on the mount. And he's running. So he said, Elijah saying, so let the gods be to me and more also, and that I make not thy life as the life of one of them tomorrow. And when he heard that, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Now, a day's journey, I think, is approximately maybe 50 miles. That's quite a journey. So, and he came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. He wanted to be dead because one woman, Jezebel. Think about that. Now let's go back to the teaching, imagination. Here's a man, a powerful man of God, and he wanted to die. Why? Because he imagined that some little girl was coming after him. I've been there. Don't even go there. I've been there. I know that fear, and I know that craziness. And he ran. He wanted to die. And the angels gave him angel food, woke him up, says, you got to eat. So he ate that angel food. He says, you got to eat. You got to journey because she woke him up twice and fed him. And he went 50 more miles to a cave. I'm fast forwarding you a little bit. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength that meat for 40 days and 40 nights. I think I want to take this down.
You got it right.
I got it right? My right place? Okay. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. 10, for the children of Israel have forsaken my covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he says, go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord. Now he's in a cave. Remember we preached, we were in caves, remember?
Yeah.
Dungeons?
Mm-hmm.
Remember we were there?
Yeah.
I remember that. I know. Remember God talking to me in a bar, and someone got mad at me.
Yeah.
God, remember? Yes? Well, he did. Well, you know what? Well, he did. He said, what are you doing here? Same thing God told Elijah. What are you doing here? Now, your cave could have been anything. And if you have a calling and you're running from it, you're going to a cave. That's what you're doing. He went to Elijah and he told Elijah, come out and my spirit will go before you. But he told him, what are you doing here, Elijah? If you're where you're not supposed to be, what are you doing there? Because you're where God does not want you. Now, he was 50 more miles to the cave. So he actually did by foot 100 miles and went in the cave. And the angel had to feed him again. He stood outside. You know what God told him? Go back. Go back to Judah.
Yeah.
Go back. Wait a minute, I'm 100 miles from, go back and do what I told you to do. Come on back, go back. Go where God told you what to do. Go back and start all over. You need to do that. If we're in caves, we need to get out of our caves because what comes in a cave? Depression, anxiety attacks, feelings of rejection, no self-confidence? None? Come on. Help me out. That's right. Spiders. Everything's in that cave. But it's a cave that we put in because our imagination didn't line up with the Word. Because we had a vain imagination. I'm winding down. We had a vain imagination because the imagination lined up with the world. You can imagine and have images of a lot of things. I won't go there, right? Yeah, you can. Especially guys. Okay, so you can let your imagination run wild and not lined up with God. And guess what? Depression sets in, rejection, sickness. All that comes in because you have not trained your imagination. Yes, and Elijah, I was just amazed that he would go 100 miles out of his way because he didn't want to face a little woman.
Yeah.
Now, there's more to that story. He does go back, and he does do what God told him to do. But once you want to be where God wants you to be, once you want an imagination that can produce a vision, that can produce results, could you not give birth to the Word of God by reading it, believing it, understanding it? You got all kind of versions that you could go and break that Word down so that you could eat it and get pregnant with God's vision. Because guess what, church? I'm going to tell you something. It's late. It's later than you think it is. If you could think how late it is, it would be later. Matter of fact, church, we're on God's grace. God sent a man to lead us in his country because he was coming back already. And he had a heart for people that were unsaved because you know what? He don't want them to go to hell. Hell's real. People burn in hell and they scream. And if you went to hell, you would be such fear that you would run for a cave. Because we need to go to work, church. I say this every time I come up here because it's so, so important. That's why you're here. Go and tell them. It's not a one man's job. It's not an outreach's job. It's all of our job. Now, I tell you, and I want to say this from my heart, and I am winding down, but you'll never be part of a bigger vision than this church. And you'll never go out as a rogue because you need a church. You need a church. You need a base church. You know why? Because you need brothers that's willing to stand and tell you, hey, you're wrong. And because that way, if you are open and transparent with your brothers, then you can grow in Christ. And you can go do the vision that you have to do. I can go do the vision that God gave me that I see because I'm transparent to the pastor. They kicked me in the butt already. Go. Elijah told Elisha, and it's not Elisha, it's pronounced, but for my sake I call it Elisha, sorry. But Elijah told Elisha, he threw the robe over him, and he says, well, I got to go tell my parents and sell this ox and all these equipment. He says, well, what do I have to do with you? I just anointed you. What do I got to do with you? Go do what you got to do. It's your call. You have to answer it. And when God throws a robe over you, whatever it is, and you say, well, I got to go do something. I don't got time for that. Well, what is that to me? You know what you have to do.
Yeah.
Go do it. What is it to me? Not my business. What is it to the pastor in this church if he comes to you and he tells you that God has spoke to my heart? And you know what, brother? I want to tell you something. You have the talents and the abilities. You are equipped to do just this. And then I would say, well, pastor, I don't know. Go, and they'll follow you. You said that. Go, and they'll follow you. And they have. And it's a nice feeling, Brother Tim, to do what God tells me to do. I'm not depressed.
No.
I'm not sick. I'm not broke. God has blessed us immensely. Why? Because you do what you're called to do. Can you imagine it? Can you get an image of it? Can you see it? Because if you can see it, you can have it. If you can imagine it, you'll have it. But you got to want it. And if you're in neutral, you have to really kick it in drive and be gone and get before the Lord and go the direction that he's gone. Or we'll be Elijah's. Running 100 miles this way,
yeah.
And he's going to ask us, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Go back.
Amen.
Go back. And there's more in this message, imagination, that I wanted to share with you, but you have to train your imagination. You have to train yourself. You might not like it, but you still got to train yourself. And if we get in the Word and allow the Word to work with us, to give us an image of ourselves that God has us and wants us to see, then we would be blessed men and women. And we would have completed and we would have done what God called us to do. Isn't that a grand thing? Amen. So we stand before Him and He looks at us and He says, well done. Well done. Thank you for listening tonight. Well done. God bless you. Father, bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for bringing them out. Strengthen them.